Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Podcast, a proud member of the Hockey Podcast Network and the official podcast of Left Wing Lock, your number one source for fantasy hockey intelligence. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, my co-hosts Bruce Gunther and John Enns. Tyler Holman is not joining us tonight because he is in Vegas.
What a loser.
So we'll excuse that. I'm really excited tonight, guys, because it's the first time we've had John on one of our live streams. John, welcome.
Hey, I'm excited. I think that's the first time anybody can actually see me do anything here. So thumbs up. That's all I got.
Yeah. So if you're listening to us on the podcast right now, we are doing live streams here now in the postseason. We're going to have that up on our YouTube channel. So be sure to subscribe over there. Bruce and I are doing our live streams Monday through Friday at lunch hour, just going through some DFS picks, game picks, some prop bets, things like that. And then for tonight, we're just going to continue on with our regularly programmed content. So we're going to cover Stanley Cup playoffs, round two, DFS, and some news and notes, and go through John's list like we always do, and fantasy lock and all the rest of it. So it should be fun. I think we're going to continue this, assuming it goes well, into the regular season next year. And it should be lots of fun, right, guys? Yes, we're having fun. We're having a good time.
Yes, sounds like a good time.
Smile and nod, John.
It's like, I don't even know what to do right now.
Yeah, what do I do with my hands? I don't know.
I'm just gonna like go back and forth in my chair, and everyone's gonna be like, "What the heck is wrong with this kid?"
It's his first time. Don't worry.
It's true.
All right. So, if for any reason we've got some technical difficulties, if you can't hear us properly or something like that, please do let us know in the comments. We think we've got the audio leveled out here, but I'm sure we'll find out later that it's a little bit off. So, whatever. It is what it is.
Whatever.
We'll fix it. We'll fix it eventually. Well, this is our first time, like I said. So, but let's continue on our way here. Let's get into John's list. So for anyone that hasn't listened or seen the show before, John's list is basically John's shit list of players, past and present. Sometimes it's just topical things. It doesn't have to be a player necessarily, but tonight, John, I think you have an actual player. So who are we going to tonight?
I do. Tonight's player on the list is Milan Lucic.
Yes.
And my comment in here is not because he took out the trash, but because he's just a knob in general. And for anybody who doesn't know, I refer to Mike Smith as trash, and Lucic sure took him out, so... I'm going with it.
Okay. I love the Milan Lucic pick here because I think he's trash. I think he's just a total meatball.
He's terrible.
I mean, whatever. I'm not gonna get too worked up about it. Guys get physical in the playoffs, but I'm not a big fan. But the biggest gripe I have with Milan Lucic is that we couldn't pay him enough money to actually hit or be physical while he was in Edmonton. And now he's in Calgary. He just seems like he wants to steamroll everybody, and it just pisses me off. So for that reason, yeah, I think it's great he's on the list. Then Bruce, 100%. Bruce has no input. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Well, with that, I guess let's move on to fantasy lock of the week.
Same as every week,
presented by Left Wing Lock. Yeah. And this week, I mean, how can you not go with Connor McDavid? I think this one's a bit of a layup on my behalf here. What else can you say about the guy?
I'm not sure you can say anything else.
As every other analyst out there says, you kind of run out of superlatives. I don't know what else to say. 23 points, 6 goals in 10 games played. I think he's the first player in NHL playoffs history to post 9 multi-point games in his first 10 playoff games. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's what NHL posted, yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah. So some good stuff there from Connor. DK salary, I think he's up to $9,500 in DraftKings, but he is averaging 21.7 fantasy points per game his last 10 games played. And then I just wanted to include his line mates here, Leon Draisaitl and Evander Kane. That line together, 23 points and 7 goals collectively in the first 3 games of the second round series with Calgary.
Incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it lots, so we won't talk about it here, but game 3 was fantastic. I loved every second of it.
I actually watched it. It was great.
I'm glad to hear that.
I missed it.
What, yeah. Bruce, what happened? You must have been busy. Family time, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I was at the in-laws. We were helping out painting and moving some stuff around.
That sounds horrible.
That's your loss, my friend, but you'll catch the next one.
Absolutely.
All right, honorable mention here goes to Antti Raanta. DK salary of $8,500. Fantasy points per game is 13. 0.59 goals against average, a .976 save percentage, and a 3.40 goals saved above expected. And he's at one shutout in round two here. We'll talk about it later, Bruce, I guess. Or we'll talk about it now, but it sounds like Freddie Anderson's working his way back into the net.
Yeah, he attended a full practice, I think, this morning, what I read. So let the rumor mill run. If he's gonna be ready to start, I think I'd still run with Raanta for now.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what they say, right? They're not really in any. The Rangers won one game, so they're not tied up yet, so they're not really in any danger. But see what they decide to do.
There's no rush, like you and I talked about before. There's no rush to bring Anderson back right away. Like Raanta's giving them some quality goaltending right now.
Yeah.
All right, so that does it for Fantasy Lock of the Week. We're going to move on to headlines. Actually, this is sort of a modified headlines now. We're going with headlines and hot streaks with the Hacks. Just for the postseason here, we're going to talk about players who were on a roll and kind of has a bit of a DFS slant to it. So for May 16th through the 23rd, the regular season's wrapped up, guys, but if you're planning to defend your fantasy hockey championship next season, be sure to check out the draft kit from our partner, Left Wing Lock. We're going to have some details about that draft kit coming up here. Mike, I know, is working hard on it. He'll get that information to us when it's available.
Mike's the beauty, even though he called me trash.
And we love
it. I'm just saying it.
yes, we love Mike. He is fantastic. He's allowed to get away with some of that stuff every once in a while, John.
Yeah, I'll let it slide.
All right, so like we always do, I'm now going to pass this over to Bruce, who is now responsible for headlines. So, Bruce, take it away, my friend.
Oh, was I supposed to put something in there?
I don't know. Did you? I really hope you did.
Yeah, just checking. Yeah, all right. I did. So, was not a great start to the week for Mitch Marner, who was carjacked at gunpoint outside a theater in Toronto on Monday evening. Fortunately, Marner and his, I'm guessing his girlfriend or whoever was with him, they were not injured in the incident. I haven't heard any updates on whether they found his vehicle or not or what, but he's fine, which is the important thing.
And apparently the carjackers didn't know anything about Mitch Marner. They didn't recognize him, apparently.
They just wanted the car.
They just wanted the car. They didn't know his
name. That's amazing.
He's one of his Land Rover.
I wonder what he drives.
Land Rover.
Oh. Okay.
There you go.
Don't get me wrong. I'll take one
there
of those.
There you go. Yeah. Sidney Crosby said he'd like to play for at least three more seasons in the NHL. It'd be interesting now to see if the Penguins bring back Malkin and Letang to play with them. Sounds like they're trying. Whether they're succeeding or not is another story, but they're trying.
It sounds like they're really pushing to bring both guys back. And, well, I won't talk about it here, but, yeah, Brian Rust, right, we chat about it. But, yeah, so I think he took a bit of a team-friendly contract, right?
I would say. Well, he got it now.
Because what was he?
6 years, $30 million. So five.
Yeah.
It was five and change.
Yeah, there was 5.2 or something. But he could have definitely gotten more than that on free agency.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's definitely he's taken one for the team here to stick around and hope that they keep the band together.
Yeah, it sounds like they want both guys come back, and Malkin wants to retire. I think, John, you were talking about that. Like, Malkin said he wants to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, he put out a little release there that said, like, Pittsburgh's a second home. He doesn't want to go anywhere. So, really hoping they can make it work.
Letang, I'm a little more skeptical of. I think he deserves a bigger contract, and I don't know if they're going to be able to give it to him.
I think if they want to be there, they'll find a way to figure it out one way or the other.
Yeah.
And back to Tyler's point, we should give Tyler some credit. He said if Crosby wants those two guys there, they'll be there.
They'll be there. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You don't want a grumpy Crosby. Nope.
No, definitely not.
All right. Moving on. On Tuesday, the NHL announced the three finalists for the Selke Trophy. Alexander Barkov from the now out of the playoffs, Carolina, Florida Panthers. Elias Lindholm of the Calgary Flames and Patrice Bergeron of the Boston Bruins. I think he's in this like every season.
I think so.
By default, they just include Patrice Bergeron.
Me as well.
Just find two others and put Bergeron in there. What do you guys think? Who's going to win? It's Bergeron by default? Or do you think Lindholm and Barkov? Well, Barkov won it last year, right?
I believe so.
So it's time for Bergeron to win again?
I don't know. I'm going to say Barkov, only because of the Eastern media bias. Like, I just don't think they watch enough games out West. And I think Lindholm has a good case. I haven't looked at the numbers to know, like, factually who should win this thing. But in my opinion, I think Barkov's got another good case for it. Like, they had a great season this year. And mind you, Lindholm had, was it 40 goals? And did he hit 100 points this year, too?
I don't think he made 100 points. It was close, though.
I'm going to look that up right now. You can carry on without me. I'm just going to look up his numbers here.
Okay. All right, moving on. In the aftermath of the Leafs' latest first-round playoff exit, Brendan Shanahan confirmed that both Kyle Dubas and Sheldon O'Keefe will return next season. They got that out of the way in a big hurry after that went south for them.
There's my hand.
Go for
82
it.
82 and
82? Yeah, 42 goals, 82 points.
Yeah. Not bad at all.
But yes, just to what you're talking about there, Bruce, I think they had to get in front of it, right? They had to let the public know and the media know that we support these guys. Yeah, it sucks that we went out in the first round, but, you know, they're our guys. They're going to be here.
Well, as they can take some solace here, as I mentioned earlier, they took Tampa to 7 and Florida couldn't take them to 5. So,
yeah, it makes Toronto look awfully good now. Like seeing Toronto or Florida go out in four games.
Yeah. Kind of like the Islanders in the conference final last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. All right. Wednesday, the NHL announced the three finalists for the Lady Byng Trophy. Kyle Connor of the Winnipeg Jets, Jacob Slavin, the Carolina Hurricanes, and Jared Spurgeon of the Minnesota Wild. I put an additional note down here is why is there a defenseman on the Lady Byng? Like, if I was playing defense, there's not a chance in hell I'd be up for this trophy.
It's tough to win, I think, as a defenseman, right? Just because you're always in the thick of it.
Well, and there's two of them. It's Slavin and Spurgeon. Yeah. Like, it's...
I would say Kyle Connor takes this one, though, for me.
I think so, too. Slavin won it last year, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Not to say D-Man can't win it, right? But I just think Kyle Connor had another great year this year.
Absolutely, sure did, considering how well the whole thing went for the Jets this year.
Yeah, that's who my pick is, too. Even though I don't want to say it, but yeah, he's my pick.
All right. On Thursday, the NHL announced the finalists for the Jack Adams Trophy. Andrew Burnett, Gerard Gallant, and Daryl Sutter. Boys, what do you think?
Uh-oh. I'm still here. I'm just checking something. Hold on.
Children running in the backyard. Background.
Oh, man.
Well, since Devin doesn't want to participate anymore, John?
I'm going to say... Shoot, that's a tough one. Like, I really don't even know. I'm going to go Daryl Sutter, just the way that team's been.
That's kind of the way I'm leaning too. Yeah. I could see Gallant getting it because as Devin mentioned before, like the Eastern bias, but my pick would be Sutter because last team, that team as you called it, was trash. And this year they won the division this year. Right. Yeah. So, and Goudreau had basically a MVP season, but he didn't get any recognition for that either. So.
Good. I don't like the
echo. Oh, look, Devin's back.
Yeah, sorry. I was just testing. I was trying to be stealthy about it, but testing out the audio levels.
Yeah, I could totally hear it.
I was trying to keep it quiet. It didn't work. I should have muted my mic. Anyway, amateur stuff, living up to the hack's name. I think all of these, honestly, are worthy of some credit here. That's why they've been nominated. I think if you look at it in terms of like who did the best with what they had, I think Gerard Gallant's probably the guy that should win that award. Like, Andrew Burnett did a phenomenal job. The Panthers had a fantastic season. All the credit to him and to their staff and to that team. Daryl Sutter did an amazing job as well in Calgary. Definitely exceeded expectations. But did anyone really see the New York Rangers doing what they've done to this point?
No. No, not at all.
Right? And really, like, they should have been well out of the playoffs or fighting for a wild card, but they've done far more than that. So if I'm guessing or if I'm a betting man, I'm going to go Gerard Gallant for the Jack Adams.
Did Gallant win for Vegas in the first year they were in?
I don't remember. I'll ask my friend Google.
Google knows all.
We ain't very smart around here.
Man, I don't know what I had for lunch yesterday. You're asking me about the Jack Adams like 5 years ago? I don't know.
Google said you had Kraft dinner.
Actually, you know what? We did have some mac and cheese yesterday or the day before. I don't remember. Gerard Gallant of the Vegas Golden Knights won the Jack Adams as NHL Coach of the Year at the 2018 NHL Awards.
Boom.
There you go.
Done.
Google knows all.
There you go. All right.
And apparently we don't.
Why were the hacks? Just hacking our way through the news here. We now know of the injury that kept Victor Arvidsson out of the first round of the playoffs. He had surgery to repair a herniated disc. They say he will miss 3 to 5 months.
No surprise there, I guess, eh?
Nope.
No, I think they sure could have used him, though. A little bit of extra scoring.
It wouldn't have hurt, but I don't know it would have made any difference in the end.
No, that's true. No one was beating Connor in Game 6 and Game 7. There was no beating chance. Him. He wasn't going to allow it. No. Mark Stone underwent successful back surgery on Thursday morning. He's expected to be ready for training camp. That's good news for them because you'd pretty much see there when they brought him back early, he wasn't 100% at all.
No, not at all.
John Hines signed a 2-year contract extension to remain the coach of the Nashville Predators. Nashville has made the playoffs in each of the 3 years that Hines has been coach, and they've been eliminated in the first round in all 3 years.
I guess you got there, so that's good.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, considering this year, they got there with a team that they weren't expecting to get there with, right?
Yeah.
You saw Johansson and you saw Duchesne rekindle their youth, and they were challenged, but it wasn't expected. So good for him. Good for them.
And that's just shitty luck, too, having to face Colorado in the first round.
Yeah. It went down to what? So if Dallas would have won that game instead of losing it, they would have. Now, how did that go?
I forget how that went, but it doesn't matter.
But anyway, it could have been easily Dallas too.
So. And I think they would have maybe had a better shot against Calgary. Like they could have played that hard nosed heavy hockey with the Flames as opposed to trying the high flying stuff that we see from Colorado.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see here. Rick Bowness has stepped down as the coach of the Dallas Stars. There was a couple of other coaches that were that are not returning. Either one of them was Todd Nelson. Us as Oilers fans should remember that name. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see where he pops up. Because when he left Oilerville, he was in the running for some head coaching positions. So we'll see what happens there. King Clancy nominees were announced by the NHL on Friday. Darnell Nurse of the Edmonton Oilers, PK Subban of the New Jersey Devils, and Ryan Getzlaff of the
Nobody's
Anaheim Ducks.
You couldn't even let him finish it, hey, John?
No. No, I hope.
And the thing is,
I hope Darnell wins it because the other two are trash.
I wouldn't be surprised if Getzlaff won this one.
Yeah, he will. And I don't like it.
Well, I'm voting Darnell, so.
Yeah.
I'll vote Darnell, too.
Me, three. All right. Jonas Corposalo gets a one-year contract extension with the Colorado. Good.
Take two.
Wowzers.
Let me grab a new mouth here and be right back. Gets a one-year contract extension with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Jackets are giving him another opportunity, having a season derailed by injury. He had injuries and other issues this season.
You know, this one surprised me a bit, Bruce. I know he was dealing with some stuff this year. I just didn't think he'd be back. I thought he'd sort of played his way out of Columbus, and Merzlikins can handle a larger load there. I kind of thought they'd maybe just get more of a veteran backup, somebody more of a journeyman. Not that Corposalo doesn't have experience. He hasn't played great recently.
No, that was surprising too. And 1 year, so it's a prove it one, right? So we're bringing you back for a year. Prove that. Prove it. If you can do that, we'll sign you longer. If not, see you later. See the as per mentioned Brian Rust deal, and then here the surprise on Sunday for all of us: Mark Giordano signed a 2-year, $1.6 million extension with the Toronto Maple Leafs on Sunday.
Trash. What a waste of $800K a year.
So
they need somebody to defend.
Yeah, so they should have found somebody else who actually can.
I actually didn't mind the deal just based on his production. I think I put a tweet out yesterday. He's averaging something like 9 goals and 35 points a year at $800,000. That's pretty good production. Yeah,
I don't care.
It sounds like they offered him initially, I think it was $1 million a season. And he said, cut it down to 800,000.
Well, that just shows even dumber than he thought he was.
I think he's just...
No. You're paying me too much here.
I think in a cap world, that actually has a lot of value. Like, as a teammate, I think that's great he did that.
I'm that guy who takes 15 mil a year.
I know I'm playing on your fourth line, you but come on. Worth every penny.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Paying you Lucic money to play 9 minutes a night.
Somebody put a tweet out. What did they say? It was like, the NHL is coming down really hard on the Calgary Flames by making Milan Lucic play every minute. Or not miss a game or something like that. I thought it was pretty funny anyway.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so that does it for headlines, Bruce. I think somebody in this group, and it's not me and it's not you, Bruce, has missed a couple weeks. And so, John, I think you probably know this. Turns off his mic and his camera. Get back in here.
I was coughing because I knew you were going to do it.
All right, so, John, the ad read is yours, my friend.
The ad read is mine all up until... Okay, you got to yell at me when I can stop.
Yeah, just go down to the call to action. After that, it's not mission critical. Oh,
beautiful. As a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, the Fantasy Hockey Hacks is proud to present. The Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of DraftKings. Wow. Hockey fans, the pursuit of the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big play, a big payday during the playoffs with DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Well,
gotta keep going.
He said go up to the call to action.
You got to read the call to action, too.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
Well, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Oh, yeah, this makes sense. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
You pretty much guaranteed that you're reading that for the rest of the life of this podcast.
It's funny to me. I'm pretty sure you guys never listened to me when I would read them, because if you had, you know that I should have qualified that. Read up to and including call to action. My bad.
Ah, oh, man. Now you tell
yeah.
me.
Yeah. On a serious note. Sorry, go ahead, Bruce.
We didn't tell Tyler the first time, and he kept right on to everything he was reading.
He read all the states. He was doing the whole thing. He did the whole disclaimer.
That was great too. He hit all the states bang on too.
He was so confused. It was great.
He did a great job.
He did.
But on a serious note, if you or someone you know has gambling problems, crisis counseling referral services are available. We've got all the information in the show notes. It'll be available on the podcast details on our website at fantasyhockeyaxe.com. Because it is serious, and as I've seen many people gripe about, they have to interrupt the gambling commercials for some hockey. And so if you are doing some DFS or some sports betting, there are resources available if you need it. One bit of advice from Tyler that I thought was great is know your limit, stay within it. So, and don't chase bets. Don't chase your losses. Don't do that. That's bad. Or just be like Bruce and I, and just bet on those 10-cent DFS plays.
There you go.
All right, let's get into some series coverage here, Bruce. So this is kind of the this is still headlines, but we're doing headlines and hot streaks as part of each individual series. We're going to break them all down. I've got Tampa leads. Yeah, Tampa sweeps 4-0. So
yeah,
let's start there. Tampa, Florida. I'm actually calling this the flop of Florida, because it was not the battle of Florida.
The drubbing of Florida.
Whatever you want to call it. It was awful. The funny thing here, too, is Brayden Point didn't play a single game in that series.
Nope. He did not. And they didn't miss a beat.
No. And I'll be honest, I didn't have Florida or Tampa winning the series. I thought it'd be a 7-game series, and I thought Florida'd move on. But here we are, Tampa sweeps Florida. If you're Florida, you've got to be looking for some answers right now.
Absolutely.
And actually, probably the answer here, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Vasilevsky is probably the answer to their question, what the hell happened. He made 49 saves.
They need Nazem Kadri so they can run Vasilevsky. So
or Milan Lucic. Just bring Lucic in, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Game four, yes. 49 save shutout for Vasilevsky. As part of hot streaks, I'm just going to talk about him here a little bit. 4-0-0, 0.75 goals against average, a 981 save percentage. Excuse me. A 10.70 goal saved above average. He averaged 32.3 fantasy points per game in DraftKings through the series.
Wow.
That's nice.
So it gives you an idea here. So this is from ESPN Stats and Info. Here are how many goals the Lightning allowed in their 10 series clinching wins in order of oldest to newest. 4-2-1-0-0-0-0-0-1-0.
That's nasty.
That is absolutely nasty.
They're a phenomenal hockey club, honestly. And I shouldn't have doubted them. I just... It's so hard to three-peat. Like, how many teams do you know in professional sports that have won 3 straight titles? I can't even name one, honestly. Oh,
exactly. And based how easily they dispatched Florida here, do you really give New York or Carolina a chance?
Zero chance. Like, Carolina is struggling with the Rangers right now.
Yeah, exactly, right? These two are beating the crap out of each other in Florida or Tampa, sorry. Like the way they're playing right now, they're just going to steamroll whoever's left.
Well,
and then just wait for whoever's coming from the west.
They've got rest now, right? So they get the sweep. They're done early. They're just like Braden Point's going to sit here for a week, right, and just get better and healthy. And
exactly.
I don't know if you want to break down all the games here, Bruce. We've got all the notes on each game, but I don't know if we need to necessarily. Like game four here, 49 shots for Florida, 26 for Tampa. They still win. Florida's power play. How did they go 1 for 28? That's 3.6%.
Well, they actually got
I think it was last game they got, but 1 for 28 in the playoffs on the power play.
Yeah,
you just can't do that.
That
not with the amount of talent they've got.
And it just looked bad too. Like it was bad and it looked bad.
Yeah. Not good.
Like, yeah, whether they went five forwards or
4-1,
four forwards, one defenseman. It's like you can't be that bad in the playoffs and win. You just can't.
And just looking at the games here, so like I think the first two were close, right? Ross Colton stunned the Panthers. 4 seconds left. Bruce, you talked about on the live stream. It was basically 4 seconds left on the clock, and he beat Bobrovsky on a beautiful feed from Kucherov. Not absolutely much there to be ashamed of, right? But game three was a blowout. It was a 5-1 win. The thing is, actually, the Panthers carried a lot of the play. Like they had shot attempts for a 52 Corsi 4 percentage in game three. Scoring chances four were in Tampa's favor, but like high danger chances were in Florida's favor. Game four, I think, was much the same, right? Like they did everything they could to win, but they couldn't beat Vasilevsky.
They couldn't beat, yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Great. Okay, let's talk about some other hot streaks here. Nikita Kucherov, he's leading the way for the Bolts with 15 points, 4 goals in 10 playoff games. He's 9th in shots at 35, 9th in shot attempts with 63, and 11th in individual scoring chances, 4 with 36 throughout the playoffs. John here, what? WTF. We got Corey Perry here as the next guy. $3,000 in DraftKings, 6.7 fantasy points per game. He's tied for second on the team with 4 points and 3 goals in the flop for Florida.
We have Corey Perry here. Settle down.
We not including John. John cannot stand Corey Absolutely. Perry. Yeah.
No.
I think Bruce and I feel a little bit like I'm not a fan per se, but what he's done the last two or three seasons has been pretty impressive. No, Bruce?
Yeah, I've had him in my lineup here the last couple of games, DFS lineup the last couple of games.
And Bruce is cashing in.
One game was not too bad. The other one was
kind of. You did win your one contest the other day.
I did win one, yes.
So good for you.
The unicorn has struck. I've won one.
You got to win one at least. What else did you do? Oh, he leads the Bolts in individual scoring chances 4 with 13 and in individual high danger chances 4 with 8. So. I don't know, John. I know you don't like the guy, but he's doing some really good things on an elite level team in Tampa.
Oh, he's doing for Tampa what he did in Montreal last year.
And Ross Colton's the last guy I wanted to mention in this series, $2,800 in DraftKings. He's been surprisingly good with 8 points and 5 goals through the playoffs. All right, let's move on to, because I don't think John can handle any more Tampa talk.
Not that right.
We're going to go New York and Carolina. Carolina leads that series 2-1. One thing that surprised me, guys, is the lack of offense from New York's top six. I think Zibanejad, I mentioned him in later on in the notes here, but he's got 1 goal and 1 assist through 3 games against New York.
She's not good.
Nope.
And I think both those points came in one game. Kreider, I think, has 1 point. Like most of their top six, they've got one or no points. And even their shots on goal and their shot attempts have been lousy. So we know that 5-on-5, New York hasn't been a great team. They've been better on the power play and they've relied on Shesterkin. But if they have any hope of winning this series, they're just going to have to be better 5-on-5.
Definitely.
100%.
It's been a tight checking affair, Bruce, like you had said here in the notes. It was a 2-1 game in game one, 2-0 in game two. And then, finally some offense. We had a 4-goal game in game three and,
wow.
Yeah. So Interesting. It's been kind of a dull series, I think, when you compare it to some of the other ones we've been watching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We've mentioned his name a couple times. Antti Raanta, $8,100 in DraftKings, 13.4 fantasy points per game. He's got a 1.86 goals against average, a 939 save percentage, and a 6.89 goals saved above average. Igor Shesterkin, those numbers are identical, and that's got to be a typo there. So
I just saw that, and I was like, oh, he screwed
up. So that's not right. But oops. I'll pull up his numbers here. We know Shesterkin is phenomenal. We know the Rangers are relying on him. I will pull up his numbers. They yeah. And without him, he's not even close. And that's why, you know, when we've talked about Shesterkin and the Hart Trophy, that's why I've kind of deferred to him a little bit, just because I don't, when you look at the definition of that award, I think he fulfills it the best this year, truthfully, if you're looking at the candidates, although both Connor and Matthews make compelling cases. But let's look here. Shesterkin in the playoffs, 5-2-2. 2.95 goals against average, a 922 save percentage, and a 4.02 goals against average. Not too bad. Okay. Not quite regular season Shesterkin, but he's been pretty good. And actually, if I look at his recent games, it's probably that much better. But we won't do that. So, Freddie Anderson, back in practice. Hope for him to return. And Zibanejad was the other guy I wanted to mention just briefly. Fourth in playoff scoring with 13 points and 4 goals, despite his struggles in round two. There you have it. You guys are speechless.
This is exciting. The crickets button. Are... This is exciting. Just crickets. I'm not used to this.
You'll get used to it.
Everyone's going to be like, why does he have such a dumb look on his face all the time?
Did we lose him? Was it the connection? He hasn't moved.
Camera froze.
We should do. Let's do a brief check-in here. How are the boys doing in, were they in St. Louis still? Yeah. 4-3, yep. Bruce. 4-3 after two.
Yep.
I should have that on my TV right now.
Oh, boy. Yes, you should.
My pick is still still a possibility. Okay. They're close.
Still there. Still, yeah, still a possibility. This has been a good series. I think, Bruce, you and I, when we were previewing these series as part of our live streams, we kind of saw this being possibly a 6 or 7 game series. Like, we wouldn't be surprised if it went that long.
Yeah, they're going to, I always said at the beginning, they were going to challenge Colorado. And they quickly did that in game two.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. It was the Jordan Binnington show until he was injured, right? And
Nazem Kadri around.
Oh, man. It was great to see. Yeah. Yeah. What? Nazem Kadri? Who? What? I was really impressed. It was too bad because Binnington was finally building up some credibility after another subpar regular season.
Subpar?
Okay, shit. Just awful.
Just trash.
Brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sammy Girard. Sorry, go ahead, Bruce.
And losing Binnington hurts for the Blues, because that's – Husso's doing okay, but Binnington was given Colorado fits. Yeah, and...
yeah, he was. It was a different series, and for that reason, like, I didn't take St. Louis. For me, it just changes the whole outlook on that series. I think without Binnington and I was a big fan of Husso and what he had done in the regular season, but he's just not as sharp right now.
He doesn't have the playoff experience that Binnington did. That Binnington has.
Bruce, that stuff's contagious when you yawn.
No,
don't do it.
Don't do it. Sammy Girard suffered a broken sternum in Game 3. Did you see that hit from Buchnevich? Barbashev. It was Barbashev.
No, I didn't. I did not see the hit. I probably. Best I don't look at it. I might not feel well after that.
He absolutely obliterated Girard. It was a nasty looking hit. You have to look it up after. And then Kadri, of course, took out Binnington. Lower body injury for him. Sounds like a sprained knee. I put a poll out right after that And I said, is Nazem Kadri the least liked player in the NHL? And I think the votes were 65 to 35, somewhere in that range. Said yes, he is.
Wow. Yeah.
Probably not a big surprise.
I don't know.
And, you know, somehow in the offseason that Kyle Dubas is going to find a way to overpay Kadri to come back to Toronto and play second line center.
I don't know. If I'm Kadri, I'm taking a discount to stay in Colorado. I'll play for half my salary. Just keep me here.
Yeah.
John would say up my salary by half.
I was just thinking that. It's like, nah, pay me now.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to hot streaks here. So Cale Makar, he's a human cheat code. There's just no denying it at this point. Yeah. Tied for sixth overall at the time of writing in playoff scoring with 11 points, 3 goals, 30 shots on goal, 65 shot attempts. He's phenomenal, right, Bruce? We've talked about him lots. I still can't get over that one game. He had 23 yeah. shot attempts and 12 shots on goal.
It's just incredible. He's just firing the puck. And he's great defensively too. That's the best part about it is he is sound defense. You see him knocking down shots in and stuff. He's a really good defender.
He's basically he's like the Connor McDavid version on defense. That's the best way I would describe him.
Pretty close, yeah.
Gabriel Landeskog has been surprisingly good for the Avs. I should have mentioned Cale Makar, $8,200. I think he's up from that even now, but he's averaging 18.3 fantasy points per game in DraftKings. Gabriel Landeskog, $5,900 salary, 15.7 fantasy points per game in his last 10. He's second on the Avalanche with 10 points, 5 goals in 7 games played. He leads his club in hits with 37 and in faceoffs with a 56% faceoff.
I would just like to thank him for abandoning me at the end of my fantasy season. Thanks, bud.
He abandoned me too, if it makes you feel any better. No. And along with many other people around the league, but good stuff there from him. I like him in DFS a lot. Ryan O'Reilly, he's been great for the Blues here as well. $4,900 in DraftKings, 18.4 fantasy points per game his last 10. He stepped up big. He's fourth in playoff scoring with 12 points, 7 goals, 32 shots on goal, 45 shot attempts, 33 individual scoring chances for, and 16 individual high danger chances. We like what we saw from him. David Perron, very similar. $5,000 salary in DraftKings, 17.5 fantasy points per game. He's tied for ninth in playoff scoring with 11 points. And that was before tonight. I think, Bruce, he's got 2 goals here tonight already.
I believe so, yes.
He's always found a way just to be good.
Yeah.
Like, he's never been a star or anything, but he's found a way to be consistent and be good, and it carries on throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, he's done well Definitely. In the playoffs, and he's competitive. He works hard. Even in Edmonton, I think he has scored 28 goals in Edmonton in one of the 2 or 3 seasons he was here, and that was a career high for him at that point. And he's gotten so much better since then, even.
Yep. Big fan of the guy.
Yeah, me too. Particularly in DraftKings, he does a lot of good things. I've got him in one lineup here tonight. So I'll have to go back and see how it's doing, but great value for that guy. And the Blues are rolling. Okay, let's move on to by far the most entertaining series in the playoffs, at least in our opinion. Edmonton-Calgary, the Battle of Alberta. For as crappy as the flop for Florida was, this series is made up for it.
More than made up for it. It has been absolutely amazing.
Like, okay, so game one. By the way, Edmonton, if you're living under a rock, you're not watching hockey right now, Edmonton does lead that series 2-1. Game one was an absolute throwback to the 80s. People loved it. People were all over it. And I honestly hated it because Edmonton just got crushed 5-on-5 and Mike Smith let in 3 goals on 10 shots. And John is just dancing. Even as an Oilers fan, John is just like, yep, I was right. The guy's trash.
I definitely was thinking that.
I came into work the next day and I was like, John, did you watch the game? You're like, yep, that guy's garbage.
That's basically how it went.
Yeah, and that was all we said. And then I walked on, went on my way, and John went back to work.
That is exactly what happened.
We were both so bitter. But, yeah, 51 seconds into the game, the Flames had two goals. At the end of the day, though, Bruce, 9-6. And I think it was 7-6 for Calgary, 5-on-5 in terms of goals scored.
Yeah, the Oilers actually put in 6 goals, 5-on-5 in that game.
So, I mean, that's another talking point here is Jacob Markstrom. I think the Oilers are inside his head at this point. No?
Well, someone posted his numbers versus the Oilers this year, and they're not good at all. The save percentage is well below 900 against the Oilers.
Yeah, I think he was at 877. I think I saw the same graphic on Sportsnet.
Yeah.
Yeah, not ugly. I mean, this is a Vezina Trophy candidate finalist, and the Oilers have got his number, it seems. He didn't even start the third period last night.
No, they put Vladar in for the third.
Okay, so in between then, Connor McDavid, well, at this point he had 7 multi-point games in his last 8. He's now up to 9 and 10 games. Game 2, the Oilers bounced back in a big way. I thought it was going to be another Calgary blowout, Bruce, when they went down 2-0. I was thinking, oh, man.
Is that exactly what I said? So here we go again.
It didn't matter, though. They came back. Was it Zach Hyman that scored first to get them back on the board? I can't remember, but...
I don't remember either.
Anyway, at the end of the day, they take that game 5-3. Duncan Keith had 3 points. He became the third oldest player, to record 3-plus points in a postseason game. So, John, I know for as much as you like to crap on that guy too, but... these two wily vets are actually playing some great playoff hockey right now.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to get. Yeah. Yep.
That's all you're
getting. I'm actually shocked we got that much, Bruce. So for John to actually acknowledge it means that they're doing pretty good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He won't elaborate, but no, for John to tip his hat, they did some good things. I think game 3, in my opinion, was probably, as an Oilers fan, the most fun to watch. The first game back at Rogers Place, if Henrik Kane has scored a natural hat trick in like 6 minutes, and 2 of those goals are basically a carbon copy, hey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched the highlights. That was just... Markstrom goes one way, Kane goes the other way. Yep. Oh, it's in the net.
Game high 10 hits for Evander Kane to go along with 6 shots on goal. Like,
yeah, he was all over the place. It was great to watch.
Love him or hate him, you can't deny him. We've talked about this lots on this show, but he's a great hockey player, regardless of how you feel about his personal issues.
Yeah, and he is coming in through in spades for the Oilers here in the playoffs.
So if we had to handicap it right now, what are the odds that the Oilers are able to retain his services next season on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to go 8.
Ooh.
But it should be 10. They should absolutely find a way to make sure he is signed for the next season. For sure.
Yep.
I'm going to say 7. I think that Kane recognizes and acknowledges that he can do some special things on McDavid's wing. And if they keep that three-headed monster together, those guys are going to put up piles of points next year.
Oh, it'll be ugly, the amount of points they will put up.
My only concern is, does he think like me or does he think like John?
I have a feeling he thinks like me. That's my problem.
That'd be my guess too.
Just ask Mr. Tkachuk there.
Yeah.
Oh, if Tkachuk gives him enough, he'll stay in Edmonton.
Yeah, really. I hope they can sign him. If they can get him to a reasonable contract for say 3 seasons. Because I think he knows he has a chance to win here. And as long as he doesn't go too deep into the Oilers' pockets, they can build another good team around him.
Yeah. But yeah, he's making quite the case for quite the payday. It's just a matter of how many teams are willing to handle his off-ice issues, right? And the Oilers are willing to do it. So if they can find a way to make it work, the results on the ice are, look what he did in half a season and so far in the playoffs. It's incredible.
Well, and to this point, Bruce, there's been no off-ice issues. Like, nope, we haven't heard a peep. And anytime they show him on the bench, he looks like he fits right in, right? I've mentioned this many times, but there doesn't appear to be any issues on ice, off ice. So no, it's all been good. And I think maybe this is the place he finally settles in and does some damage.
Yeah. It looks like it's all business, right? They come in and does this thing. And
one thing I'm going to just for his benefit, not that he's sitting here watching this show, but I hated that all the questions directed his way last night were about how great Connor McDavid is and has been, and how great Leon Draisaitl is and has been. And people didn't really seem that interested in asking him about his performance, right? So I just want to give some credit where credit's due. Evander Kane crushed it last night. I recognize he was playing with two phenomenal hockey players, but anyway.
One and a half.
Oh yeah. Okay, so we didn't even get into this. John, come on, man. How good is I'll agree on the half part because he's playing on one leg.
Whatever.
Leon Draisaitl is playing on one leg, and he is second or third in playoff scoring right now.
You see who his line mate is?
He's pretty good too. But speaking of his line mate, Connor McDavid, first player in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs to open a postseason run with 9 months ago. Yeah, we talked about that already. but this one is interesting too. Leon Draisaitl, I think he's the first player to register 4 points in a single period in the playoffs.
Yes.
So also I read pretty incredible in his own right. Yeah. So I know you like to shit on him, John, but some pretty impressive stuff from the Deutschland Dangler, the German Gretzky, the big German, Leo the Lion. How many names do I have to go through? I don't know, whatever. There goes John again.
John's out.
And then the last point I just want to make here, Lucic confirms that he is indeed an idiot. The other two points of business here, special teams battle. Edmonton is seventh on the power play at 23.5%. Calgary's 14th. The Flames, they have the best penalty kill of teams remaining in the playoffs at 92.3%. The Oilers are fifth best at 86.1%. And Calgary's been dominant 5-on-5. But it doesn't seem to matter. Edmonton's taken back control of this series. And if they can win tomorrow night, they're going to have a stranglehold in this series and they'll have a few opportunities to close up Calgary. So I think we know, guys, Calgary's going to be much better tomorrow night. What do you think?
Oh, they have to be, or they're going to be in a world of hurt if they don't.
Let's hope they're not.
Yeah, agreed. I hope it's not.
I didn't see much of the game. Like I said, I watched basically the highlights, but it sounded like the way the Oilers play defense is how Calgary usually plays defense. So Calgary's now has to find a way to beat a defense they didn't know they had to get through before. Because Edmonton has definitely tightened up their defense here in the last couple of games, and Calgary's looking for answers.
Well,
especially in net, right? Because Markstrom has not been good.
I was just going to say, Mike Smith has outplayed Jacob Markstrom to this point.
Shots on goal midway through that game, though, were like 30 to
13.
Like, yeah. Like
It was 3-1. I think it was just about 3-1 for the Oilers.
Yeah, they kind of let off.
They got to continue that.
Yeah, they did. They kind of sat back in the third period and just tried to defend that lead. But you'll find that's going to happen lots of games.
Oh, yeah.
And for a change, they did a great job of it. Like, Shillington's shot that went in, I don't know. That was just a well-placed shot. I don't know if anything special happened there, but
no,
the Oilers locked it down in the third period, and then the Flames could do nothing.
I won't comment on it, but wasn't Smith's finest technical moment? From what I saw, but night well played shot by Shillington too. So,
we saw what Lucic did in the third period, and basically, I think what he was trying to do there is, you think if I give Smith a little knock, see if I can get him off his game or get some of the Oilers off their game, they might be able to mount a comeback. And well, as somebody posted on Twitter, when Smith came back up, they should have played the Stone Cold Steve Austin entry music. with the glass shattering and the music. That's because that's how Smith came out of the tunnel. Was
they would have won the internet had the Oilers done that. Like, honestly, yeah. it was so absolutely good when he walked out, because he was pissed. He did not want to go to the quiet room.
No, he sure but didn't.
I actually understand. So here's the thing. I was happy to see that the league gave Lucic 5 minutes, because they're trying to send a message there that we're going to try and protect goaltenders, right? Anytime there's been contact, yeah, whether it's coincidental or otherwise, they've been quick to penalize players to try and protect the goalies. And so they did the same thing last night. Yeah. Lucic comes in, he's running around like an idiot. I know lots of guys will say he slowed up. I mean, the guy's massive. He's 240 pounds. You know, slow up or not, you're going to hurt somebody. And they gave him 5 minutes for it. And then, so because of that, if you're going to give him 5 minutes, you probably have to send Smith to the quiet room for concussion protocol, because you're trying to protect the goaltender.
Yeah. And what was Smith doing there when Lucic hit him? It's like, what he was doing.
I think it was Nick Alberga from the NHL that said something like, Lucic knew what he was doing, Mike Smith knew what he was doing, end of story. And so I think there's maybe a grain of truth in that, where Mike Smith kind of turned back the one way, sort of knowing that Lucic was going to clobber him and hoping for a penalty, right?
Yeah, and it had worked in spades.
Oh, yeah, and had the Oilers scored on that. I mean, they didn't need to, right? They're still up 4-0, but if had they scored on that 5-minute power play, you know, once or twice, it could have got really ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, because I liked Lucic's comments, I think, was it today? He says, had I actually tried to hit him, he wouldn't be playing and neither would I.
Yeah. Okay, let's just quickly run through hot streaks. I mean, I probably talked about him more than enough, but Connor McDavid, $9,500 in DraftKings, averaging 21 fantasy points per game in his last 10. First in playoff scoring, 23 points, 6 goals, 40 shots on goal, 78 shot attempts, 60 individual scoring chances, and 31 high-danger chances, all in first in the league. Evander Kane, $6,000, just about 21 fantasy points per game, fourth in playoff scoring, 13 points and 10 goals and 44 shots. John, 69 shot attempts, 45 nice individual scoring chances for, and 24 individual high danger chances for. Hyman's been incredible. We didn't give him enough love, actually, in that series breakdown. He's tied for second with Nathan MacKinnon with 42 shots on goal so far in these playoffs. 8 points, 6 goals, 67 shot attempts, 48 individual scoring chances for, which is second only behind Connor McDavid, and 29 individual high danger chances for, which, again, is just second behind Connor McDavid. So, love Hyman. Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah, give him a round of applause, people, because he is fantastic. I want to give a special nod to the Toronto Maple Leafs for letting him go. Thank you very much. Love it.
Yeah, we appreciate
exactly
it.
Exactly. He has been money for the
and not owners. Only that, he writes children's books, and he's probably like the nicest guy you'd ever meet. So just really good stuff that all around from Zach Hyman. I'm going to give some credit where credit's due. Matthew Tkachuk, $6,400, 14.1 fantasy points per game. He's got 4 points, 3 goals, 10 shots on goal, 13 shot attempts, 7 individual scoring chances, and 3 individual high danger. Had a hat trick as well, so some good stuff there from him, regardless of my personal feelings towards him or his play on the ice. And then,
Oilers could have dropped,
I know, him. Bruce, you and I are talking about that. We might not have Evander Kane here had we drafted Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah. So might not have Hyman either.
Yeah, so I mean, that's something to keep in mind, but
they had a chance. He was there.
And, well, and like we were talking about, I really do think they were looking at Sergachev in that four hole regardless, but I think the correct draft pick, looking back at it retrospectively, would have been Matthew Tkachuk. Okay, and then last guy here, Andrew Mangiapane, $3,300 in DraftKings, 9 fantasy points per game. He's got 3 points, 1 goal, 9 shots on goal, 12 shot attempts. He's been just fine. Good value at $3,300, so I wanted to mention him there as well. And just a couple more things here. This episode of the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is brought to you in part by Amazon.ca. New Amazon Music Unlimited subscribers will receive access to 6 months of Disney Plus. Users that sign up for an Amazon Music Unlimited subscription starting at $7.99 per month for Prime members and $9.99 for non-Prime will have access to Disney Plus for 6 months. Renews automatically, new subscribers only. Terms and conditions apply. Guys, the Fantasy Hockey X podcast is an affiliate partner of Amazon.ca, and we're, as an affiliate, we're going to try and bring you the latest deals and promotions from the world's largest online retailer. If you enjoy and appreciate the podcast, the blog, or anything else that we do in terms of content, please support us by using our affiliate links before making your purchase on Amazon. No hidden fees or additional costs to you, just a simple free way to show your support. And the very last thing we got to talk about is Ask the Hacks. So we haven't done a whole lot with Ask the Hacks just post regular season, but we're still absolutely open to answering listener questions, comments, or otherwise. So send them in if you want to. You've got a chance. You can get entered to win a free 1-year subscription to the Left Wing Lock iPhone app, which Bruce and John do not have the pleasure of using, but it's fantastic. It's, I use it every day.
Shut up. Looking at you, Mike.
Shots fired. Okay, so with that, guys, that does it for another episode of the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. We'll be back again next Sunday. I think we're going to do the live stream, like I said earlier, just throughout the summer and stuff like that. I think it's a good way to just something different for the podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the bell notification. Bruce and I will be back on Wednesday because I am traveling tomorrow. So we'll be back on Wednesday with our live stream. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at FHX, on Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks. Check out our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
Hi, Felicia.
Hey, good night.